Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. On Monday, we described the study where the authors found that a single 5-minute compressive myofascial release treatment improved dorsiflexion range of motion more than an instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. In our second post, we summarized a study where the authors reported that high school athlete trainers commonly treat ankle sprains with therapeutic exercise and neuromuscular reeducation. Furthermore, they provide more services for athletes with time-loss ankle sprains versus those with non-time-loss injuries. Finally, we described the study where the authors reported that regional activity modification guidelines may be more effective at preventing fatal exertional heat strokes than the current guidelines. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors performed a randomized controlled trial to assess the short-term effects of a single 5-minute session of compressive myofascial release or instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization on the triceps serrae for improving closed-chain ankle dorsiflexion range of motion among physically active people. The authors measured pre- and post-ankle dorsiflexion range of motion in a standing and kneeling position. They randomized participants with less than 30 degrees of dorsiflexion and a test positive for soft tissue restriction to one of three groups. The first was those that got compressive myofascial release. The second received instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization, and finally, the third was a true control group. A single clinician applied all compressive myofascial release treatments, which began with shaking a muscle belly for 30 seconds, 1 minute focused on lateral and medial sides of the Achilles tendon, and 2 minutes focused on the musculotendinous junction. The clinician applied broad strokes, distal to proximal, with knuckles or thumb positioned at a 45-degree angle to the muscle. A separate examiner administered all instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization treatments according to the M1 basic training course. Treatment began with a 1-minute scanning of the triceps serrae, followed by 4 minutes of localized treatment in the areas of restriction. The authors found that compressive myofascial release produced greater standing dorsiflexion improvements compared with the instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization and the control group. However, the compressive myofascial release group was only better than the control group when assessing dorsiflexion improvements with a kneeling assessment. Compressive myofascial release and instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization are widely used and accepted soft tissue mobilization techniques. The instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization cultivated a shift in clinical practice by reducing the stress placed on clinicians while performing myofascial release. However, it has eliminated the effect of human touch on mechanical and neurological response by the patient. The authors acknowledge that compressive myofascial release treatment took into consideration patient comfort levels when applying pressure. In contrast, the instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization treatment session focused on appropriate pressure to eliminate an adverse inflammatory response. Perhaps the difference in applied pressures between the two treatment groups could explain the results of this study. Additionally, it is unlikely a clinician will only implement a single treatment session when addressing soft tissue restrictions of the triceps serrae group. Clinicians should continually assess ankle range of motion to affirm deficits are present and due to muscular inflexibility and exclude any arthrokinematic restrictions. A discrepancy in dorsiflexion range of motion due to a malpositioned talus or fibula would not benefit from myofascial release therapy. If a clinician confirms that the limited dorsiflexion is attributable to muscular inflexibility, then it may be beneficial to use compressive myofascial release to elicit immediate benefits. Therefore, proper evaluation before and after interventions should be used to assure continual improvements are occurring. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a tweet announcing the Journal of Athletic Training was doing an online chat with Darren Padua to discuss the new NATA position statement on ACL prevention. We look forward to the journal hosting more of these online chats. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses and the posts on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.